chapter 13, verse 1 through 9. Asked about current tragic events, Jesus turns a lesson about whether suffering is deserved into a hard call to obedience. He then tells a parable that holds out hope that the timeline for ultimate judgment will be tempered by patience. The reading from Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. Then he told a parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put fertilizer on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So I'm just getting over a bit of a cold, and so just bear with me to make sure I can get through this. Our sermon this morning is provided by Pastor Rick Brown, our intern pastor. We were grateful that he continues to provide sermons for us. We humans, we hunger for comfort and security, the assurance that everything is going to be okay when life threatens to overwhelm us. That may be the one reason that many of our faith communities specialize in plentiful potluck dinners. Gathering around tables and sharing our lives as well as food is part of who we are. Calorie-laden goodness spread like a crazy quilt of love and hope. Traditional comfort foods of our childhood both fill our bellies and hug our hearts. There is always just enough, like manna from heaven, never too little, never too much. As faithful people, we know how to fuel the body and how to make love the central ingredient in almost any dish. When we lack words, we bring food. When we wish to dispense comfort and care, it often comes in the form of casseroles or hot dishes, all seasoned with the spirit of love and garnished with a sprig of hope. Comfort food and tables of plenty are not, however, usually associated with the season of Lent. Tradition compels us to think of Lent as a time of self-denial, an intense introspection, and contemplation. This season sets itself apart as a time of fasting from the luxurious and the indulgent. A boisterous feast at God's table is the last thing we should expect to see embodied in the words of our lectionary scripture for this week. Yet here we are, all the same, duty-bound to come to God's table, no matter the state of our wallets or the state of our hearts. We, the people of Zion, have been led through 2 weeks of Lent. We have found our grounded in offering the first fruits of the harvest and uplifted by the promises suspended like stars in the night sky. This week, we will ask our congregation to leave their chosen pathways, repent, and to return back to a God who always has plenty of room at the table for each one of us. Before we can hear the words of Isaiah 55 in any kind of meaningful way, we need to consider the context in which the words were written. The people of Israel find themselves at the end of a very long exile in Babylon. Even the recollection of what the promised land was and how to inhabit that land had faded from their collective memory. If these exiles had heard of the promises of the everlasting covenant made to David at all, it was only in hushed whispers and half-remembered tales that must have sounded more like a dream than any sort of possible reality. It appears the people of Israel were feasting and fasting. They were feasting on the economy of scarcity that empire always places upon its people. The belief that they will never have enough, never be enough. While they were fasting on the logic of empire, they were also fasting. They fasted from the abundant promises of God and from the assurance that God would one day lead them back home. This fast left them starved of hope and starved of heart. In this vastly malnourished state, the call to come to a table of plenty must have sounded too good to be true. The invitation of Isaiah 55 was also a call to repent, literally to turn around and to accept God's gracious, irresistible invitation to come, buy, eat, listen, delight, break the chains of their long fast. As we look out on our world this Lent, we see a similar type of feasting on scarcity, fear, distrust. It seems to be the hallmark of our well-fed society. Perhaps we need to repent of our feasting on things that do not satisfy. When we turn our hearts and our lives around and incline our ears to God's invitation to wisdom's table, the sound is strange to our ears. Nothing is free, we say. Nothing is without cost. We have suffered ourselves for so long with greed, cynicism, and inadequacy that we have forgotten what real nourishment looks like. There is nothing to fear from the invitation to the table of plenty. Let them return to the Lord, Isaiah proclaims, that he may have mercy on them. Solid helpings of repentance and forgiveness are served at this table. The grace of God is far more filling than anything else in which we have mistakenly put our trust. God reminds Isaiah's listeners that the ways of God are not our ways. Thank God for that. The ways of God lead us to a table where all are welcomed and fed and are claimed beloved. This table might begin to sound familiar to us as Christ's table, where Christ invites all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. This is a feast we should choose for Lent. And as for fasting, well, Isaiah tells us of a fast that is fruitful. Isaiah claims, "It is not this fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo those thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. It is not to share your bread with the hungry. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. We still have a way to go in this Lent season. The journey is about seeking a way that is not our own way, but about following the pathway to God's heart. May your feasting and fasting bring justice, comfort, and living water to you road-weary travelers. May your heart find contentment and sustenance for the journey of homecoming.